39.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. And thank you, Lord, for the season, Lord. It is a time to be thankful for whatever we've got, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this church and this pastor. Brother Lee's that brings forth thy word today. May it sink deep into our hearts and help us to realize that Jesus is the only way. Give us strength day by day to walk with us and talk with us and guide us in the right direction. Go with us now, Lord, that thy will be done, Lord. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay. First day, Sunday morning, we
My aunt is 97, and I am in the apartment. I don't have a birthday, but
pretty good, be 90 in it.
You better play your role, just
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday from you, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Mountains. Anybody got any mountains today?
I don't. Jimmy, I just want to say you all be sure to keep Brad and Gail and all that family in your prayers. Brad is really struggling.
Yeah. Okay, Brother Lee.
Good morning. Good to see you, all of you. And I hope you have a copy of the prayer list. I have one or two comments on it. New name is Virgil Dunaway. He's a friend of Jody Vickers' sister. But he's been diagnosed with cancer, and they've asked for your prayers for him, Virgil Dunaway. Also, Brad Teeter, certainly in need of your prayers as he continues in ICU at the UK hospital after his auto accident. And a note of thanks, Freddie Orange had a scan this week, and showed favorable results from his chemo treatments, so they will be continuing those. They was encouraged to continue those, so he'll be still receiving chemotherapy treatments. We have a beautiful poinsettia here in memory of Danny Patton's parents and Marcia Patton's parents. So, Lorene and Bill Burton and Marcus and Peggy Patton. So, it's nice that they've shared that with us. We also have a Christmas card on the bulletin board from Patton's to the whole church. So you all have to go read it.
Brother Lee, yes. Please get a thank you card from the Share a Smile thing. It's at work, and I keep forgetting to bring it. But thanking the church for the donation we give at Thanksgiving time.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that, too. I don't know whether you go out and cut a Christmas tree or just go to a lot and buy one, or if you just use an artificial tree for your Christmas celebration. I know when we had small children, we had ornaments on the tree with their pictures. How many of you have done that? A lot of you, I'll bet. Yeah. Sometime when you're looking at your beautiful Christmas tree, and we certainly have a word of thanks to offer to the people that prepared this one. I think that was Marcia Patton and Fran Main and Teresa Bruner. I think they teamed up on that. But we appreciate it. But when you're looking at your Christmas tree or this one here, think of another tree that Paul mentioned in Scripture. And when he wrote to the Galatians, he said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now Paul was telling us how Jesus took upon himself the curse that really belonged to each of us. And the tree Paul had in mind was not beautiful. It was a cross upon which Jesus gave his life for us. God had each one of us in mind when he gave his son to die for us. That's a lot of pictures hanging on God's tree. But God has a lot of love to give. So at communion, we remember that blood-stained tree and the Savior who died on it. Just imagine that tree, that cross, with your picture on it. Because the Savior offered up his life with you in mind. The loaf and the cup remind us that the Savior gave his body and his blood to cover our sins.
Enough for everything that you do and provide for us. We are grateful for this day and the building and the health that we're able to be here at church this morning. Lord, we realize we live in a world where anything can happen at any time. And when that happens, we sure need someone to lean on if we know that you are always there. Lord, we want to thank you for everything, but we want to especially thank you for your son Jesus, which if it wasn't for him and his sacrifice, and we would live in a world where no future would be after death. And Lord, we are grateful and we partake of this in general as we do every Sunday in remembrance of Jesus. And it's in his blessed name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, I lost my front row, but that's a good thing. I'm just tickled pink that they are here and that they have a take part in the service. Number 275 is our first hymn this morning. All right. Let's turn then to number 468 and sing in the sweet by and by. Number 436, and I'm going to ask that we stand as we join in prayer and sing just the first verse. Gracious Heavenly Father, we stand before you this morning unworthy, unholy, and sometimes uneasy in your presence because we know our sins. Yet you treat us as if we were both holy and worthy because we put on the righteousness of Christ like a holy garment of some kind. We have no righteousness of our own, yet you allow us to put on His. And for this we're eternally grateful, because we need your forgiveness. But we pray today for those of our number who are receiving medical treatment, and for those who give the treatment to them, may it be well served and effective, and lead to healing and health. We pray also for those who are weak in spirit, low on faith, in need of spiritual refreshing. May we share something helpful with them, something that will help them to revive their devotion to you. As we worship you today, may our songs of praise and our prayers of need be acceptable in your sight, Lord. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Yes.
You slipped my mind this morning. I apologize. Connie Williams had a minor procedure done Friday morning. They did get all of the cancer, and she's doing much better this morning.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for good news. Let me make a note of that. A card for Connie Williams, okay? Thank you. It's nice to have people who just take care of things like that. We appreciate it. Well, I have a song to sing. And I didn't bring the words with me. Let's sing it anyway. It's one that's been a favorite of mine for many years. My wife fortunately recorded the accompaniment, so I'd like to sing it with her. It's called Sweet Little Jesus Boy.
Sweet little Jesus Boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was, didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. But please, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know who you was. Long time ago, you was born in a manger, Lord. Sweet little holy child, the world treats you mean, Lord, treats me mean too. But that's how things is down here. We don't know who you is. You done told us how we is trying. Master, you done showed us how, even when you was dying. Just seems like we can't do right. Look how we treated you. But please, sir, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know 'twas you. Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago. Sweet and we didn't know who you was.
Only 14 days left before Christmas. So I hope you have your Christmas list all taken care of. Normally, it used to work this way at our house. Lois would ask me what I wanted for Christmas, and I always gave her the same answer. You're all I need, baby. Actually, I wish I had tried that at least once. Really, I would say, I don't need anything, so don't get me anything. You ever heard that before? She wants to buy me something. And honestly, deep down in my heart, I'd like to receive a gift. But I was never very helpful. And I'm the world's worst at picking out gifts. I never knew what to get Lois for Christmas unless she told me. Then I could buy something. But she wasn't always helpful either. I bet your kids are ready for Christmas. Whenever a commercial comes on, do they ever point to the television and say, that's what I want? No, never happens. They make lists of what they want. I want all of us to have fun with Christmas, but is that the real purpose of Christmas? The focus for many of us at this season seems to be on giving gifts. After all, what would Christmas be without gifts? When someone asks, are you ready for Christmas? You know what they really mean is, have you finished your Christmas shopping? Right? So what kind of gifts are you giving? And what are you wanting from others? Let me read a passage of scripture from the Gospel of Matthew about giving gifts. It's in the second chapter of Matthew, beginning at the very first verse. This after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. During the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child lay. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I'm glad they had the good sense to do that. I found something in the story of these wise men. I'm impressed by the fact that their gift was personally given. These were wealthy men from Persia. Today we would call it Iraq. And they were about 1,000 miles from Bethlehem, but they went through all of this travel to deliver the gift to Jesus. And we get to hear some of what they experienced on the way in this scripture. But their gifts were not given until they reached the child. And they personally presented these gifts. They were personally given. And the second thing I noticed about them is they were properly given. When I say properly given, I mean it was more than just a gift. That's what I want to talk about this morning. It was more than just some gold and some frankincense and some myrrh. It was presented to bring worship and adoration and glory and honor and praise to Jesus. Now, there are lots of gifts we can give at Christmas, but I want to focus on some of the ones that we usually give. And the first type we usually give is re-gifting. I know none of you is familiar with re-gifting. I think maybe most people have done that sometime or other. But that is a fancy word, re-gifting. If you do a Google search, you come up with 339,000 hits for the word re-gifting. So help yourself. But there are rules and ethics and tips that you can find on the internet. 7 simple rules for re-gifting. 12 no-nonsense rules for re-gifting. And that sort of thing. But for those of you who've never done it, it goes like this. You get that wonderful tie, which is totally hideous. Or maybe it's a shirt, which they got from the uglyshirt.com website. But you say thank you with a smile, and you immediately begin to wonder who else could use this tie or this shirt or whatever it is. So you file it away. At first chance you get, you repackage it, only after carefully considering that the person you give it to is not related to the person who gave it to you. Remember that. That's re-gifting. Now, another thing we do with giving gifts is called what I call a gift for a gift gift. Basically, it occurs when we get a gift from somebody and we say, uh-oh, I didn't get them anything. Now, I've got to go get them a gift because they gave me a gift. And we estimate the cost of their gift, maybe. We hope it's not a re-gifted gift. And then we run to Walmart and we buy a gift for about the same price. It's called a gift for a gift gift. And we've all done that sometime or other, I expect. You know, a couple days before Christmas when the stores are so crowded, that's not because men wait till the last minute. That's because all these people got a gift for a gift gift. And they had to go get a gift for the person who gave them the gift for a gift gift. That's the same way with Christmas cards. Every time you get a late Christmas card, it's probably because that person didn't expect you to send them a card. Nothing's worse than getting a Christmas card on Christmas Eve from somebody to whom you did not send a card. I solved that problem. I don't send Christmas cards at all. Although I do appreciate receiving them and the thought behind them. There's another type of gift giving, and that's a gift for a gift, a gift for a favor gift. It's sort of like the other one, but it occurs when a person gives you a gift and they're not expecting a gift in return, but they are expecting you to do something for them. You know? And they love to keep score. Either one of these gift for a gift or gift for a favor gifts. They're the type of people who if they loaned you a dollar, they would remember it because you owe them. And people who practice this are have long memories. They can remember who gave them what. But the kind of gift I want to focus on is the kind that the wise men brought. And I call that a grace gift. The best way to describe a grace gift is that it's unrepayable. You can't pay back a grace gift. And the term obviously comes from Scripture. From Jesus, who loves us so much, He gives us eternal life, which is a gift of God. We don't work for it. We can't earn it. We can never repay it. So when we think of God, we think of grace. And say, I could never repay God for giving me Jesus. And while we can never repay Him, we can give grace gifts to one another. And when we do that, it's a way of serving God and showing our love for Him to other people. A grace gift is immeasurable. Let me mention a couple of ways that you might give a grace gift. Do you know some young children who are maybe in need in some way? You know the family situation is not a good scene. Is there something you can do to help them know that somebody loves them? Somebody cares about them? Maybe it'd be check in on them and just give them a hug. Listen to them. I think we all need to be listened to and hugged once in a while. Maybe it would be making cookies or some special treat. Take it to them. Could you take them to the store with you? Take them to a movie with you. I mean, none of these things are terribly expensive, but you're communicating love and acceptance to someone. And that type of gift can never be paid back. You just give it and enjoy giving it. I know people who knit or crochet or make quilts for their families, spend an entire year making a gift. I know people who complete projects for their family. And every year the Christmas presents are projects that they've spent a year doing. Sometimes our gifts are bought on the spur of the moment, aren't they? I'm sure you've done that. I know I have. But instead, maybe you could make something for someone. Point is, it's from your hands to their hearts. And that makes it personal. Could you begin to mentor someone? Is there someone who's interested in the things you know about that you could help? Someone who has needs you can help by being a friend. I don't know what what we've done with Christmas, but we need to turn this thing around and quit running to the store every time we think of somebody. We need to pass grace gifts to one another. Gifts that take some thought and some time. Gifts that will last. Let me tell you something else about grace gifts. They're often non-material things. It could be a gift of togetherness. Is there a way you could spend more time with your spouse? Or with your children? I know I'm a total Scrooge when it comes to putting up Christmas decorations. Lois expected it of me, I believe. And it seems to me if you're going to have a Christmas tree, you should put it up on December 24th and take it down on the 26th. I know, bah humbug. I did my usual complaining every year about all the boxes I had to bring down from the attic. And Lois knew how I felt. And in the later years, when she was not able to do as much decorating, I tried to let her know that I really didn't mind getting the stuff out, but she always knew. In fact, I took away from her and from the kids something because it was one of her favorite times of the year. And I should have just relaxed and enjoyed the time together. But there are those little grace gifts that we can give to our loved ones without complaining, just loving. I've seen people take in family members when there was a need for it. Having parents or children or grandchildren move in with them and live with them. I know some who've let friends of the family stay for extended periods. It can change your life dramatically when you give a grace gift. But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. Grace gifts can occur as a gift of service, too. John Maxwell tells about a member of his church who had, he had a great many emotional problems. But one day the young man walked into John Maxwell's office. He got out his Bible and he said, "Preacher, let me read something to you." And he opened his Bible to 1 Corinthians and he read the part about the body of Christ is different and how each part is needed by the others. He said, "Preacher, you need me. My gift is helping. Would it be all right if I come to your office about once a week and you could give me a list of errands that I could do for you? I'd like to give you an afternoon once a week of my life." Maxwell said for the next 7 years, that guy would come by the church and I would go wash my car or pick up my dry cleaning. I would hug him. He gave me something I could never give him back. It was a grace gift. Now, I've experienced that. I've had a few computer problems, and I had someone come and help me fix them. And when it comes to these issues, I'm totally helpless. He knows what he's doing, and he doesn't complain about it, and we have wonderful conversations, and he's always fixed the problem. But it's a grace gift. You can't pay it back. You just love it and accept it. There are some other things the wise men teach us. Number one, give an unexpected gift to somebody. Now these men, these magi were not Jewish. They had no involvement in Jewish life. They'd studied the skies and they believed that the king of the Jews had been born. They talked, their visit was totally unexpected. You talk about a surprise. You have a new baby. The baby gets a couple of years old and here three ancient wise men from another country show up with precious gifts. Wow. But aren't the best gifts always the unexpected ones? Maybe somebody's done something for you. Is there some way you can show your appreciation? Think about it and do something unexpected for that person. Give them a grace gift. Now they're not expecting anything. So it's going to be a grace gift if you're doing something for somebody and you don't expect anything in return either. We've all experienced that, I think. So here at the church, so many people have helped do things. This siding project was the latest example. Siding for the outside of the church. A bunch of people showed up to help with that, and other people brought food and helped just by being there and showing love. That's a grace gift. It can't be measured. There's no way to return it. It's just an amazing gift that you get. We've experienced it in so many ways here at the church, but some of the best gifts we get are the unexpected ones. And I learned that the wise men gave with genuine joy. Did you notice in the scripture, it said when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I mean, they were glad. When they saw the baby, they were glad. These gifts were burning a hole in their pockets. They wanted to give them to somebody. But they knew there was just one person they wanted to give them to, the new king, Jesus. So when you present a gift to somebody this Christmas, don't make it a gift for a gift, even if it's a re-gift. Make it a grace gift. Isn't it amazing that after, 2,000 years, people still know what was the gift that the wise men brought? Isn't that something? You remember what you got last Christmas? Or for your birthday? 2,000 years. And we still remember. Give a gift that will last. When I talk about a gift that will last, you don't go down and buy those at Walmart. The gifts you buy will wear out, they will break, they will get lost. Give a gift of good memories. Nothing like giving the gift of memories. Make sure that you do things that will create memories. That's one of the things that is going to last. So spend your time making memories with the people you love. And there's one other gift that will last, and that's a godly heritage. The Bible teaches us that it will bless you for generations. That kind of gift will. Give the gift of Jesus to others. You don't have to preach to anyone, but share your faith. Share your life. Share your story with the people you love who don't know Christ. These wise men weren't about to go back home until they delivered those gifts to Jesus. They got by Herod. They got by the distance. I'm sure there were times they wondered if they were going to make it. But they said, no, we want to give these gifts to him and we're going to do it. I think the saddest thing in life, and I've seen it happen, is to see people look at their loved ones and wish for one day that they could get back and say or do something different. You may say, well, the gift I want to give is expensive. Forget that. The best gifts are from your heart. Don't wait till your kids are grown. Go home and make some memories right now. Take a day off and play with your kids. Whether they're 21 months or 55 years old, doesn't matter. The most important thing you can give your family is your love and your time and your attention. Don't miss an opportunity to love and hug somebody. I'm sure there's some of you who need to reach out even before Christmas, but do it. Swallow your pride and give a grace gift. That letter you should have written, or that phone call you should have made. Hey, listen, this afternoon, go home and make it. Give somebody a hug. Love somebody. That's the magic of gift giving. Because it can disappear before our eyes if we don't do it. So this Christmas, I hope you'll be a grace gift giver. Because that is the kind of gift that makes a difference. That's the kind of gift that God gave to us when He sent His Son. He didn't expect us to give Him anything back except our lives. There's no way you can match the gift that God gave us in His Son. So this morning, as we sing our invitation hymn, I would like for you to consider giving your life to the one who gave His Son. We're going to sing number 545 as our invitation hymn. Just the first and last verses. Thank you. Maybe it's because Christmas overwhelms all else. But about the only thing I could find special about today is that it is National Noodle Ring Day. But you'll have to figure that one out. I don't know. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, help us in our giving to give as Christ has given to us, gladly and generously. And may we always honor our Savior in all that we do, for He's honored us with a gift we do not deserve. Bless all our celebration to the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Joy to the world.
Just first.
You'll have to do that on your own.
Let's sing our regular.
Sing it right now.
Second.